The next item on the agenda is a general discussion about the BCP survey, and it's actually an action item because I'd like to try to identify what budget change proposals that this body would recommend the branch pursue on behalf of the trial courts this year. You received, as you know, a survey went out in July to each of the PJ and CEO, which asked them to do two things. First, to identify your agreement or disagreement with the proposed BCPs that the AOC is considering on our behalf, but also to list kind of what each court thought were the top priorities for budget change proposals. And I wanted to did a little unofficial tallying of the results, and I wanted to go through those and see if there's any discussion on it, on any of the items. If we, first of all, regarding the proposed BCPs that the AOC had suggested, and keep in mind these are really just kind of off the top of the head proposals that the AOC had put together, so maybe it wasn't entirely fair for me to embody them in a survey, but I did want an opportunity for you to see where they were headed and for us to have a discussion about that. One second. In terms of the proposal for trial court security funding deficiencies, which is a hotly contested item around here, it appeared to me that 15 courts agreed with that, 18 courts did not agree. And I want to open it for discussion if folks want discussion. I know that SEAC is also gathering information on this. So I wanted to have a discussion about what this group thought of that proposal. And it seems to me that the nature of the disagreement lies along the lines of who should submit the BCP, not that increased funding isn't necessary, but whether or not this is an obligation of the judicial branch or obligation of the Deputy Sheriff's Association, perhaps in conjunction with the with CSAC. The one thing I wanted to point out is we did get a comment from the Sonoma Superior Court that I wanted to address because I think it's probably true. Sonoma said the trial courts are being held hostage by sheriffs and the legislature. The branch is not equipped to verify the true costs reported by the sheriffs, and trial courts have no leverage to ensure that taxpayer dollars are being spent efficiently and as intended by law. And I speaking from personal experience, as a court who's negotiating with our sheriff who says we don't have enough money to support your security needs, I want to advise that that appears to be the case, that there has not been built into this alignment of court security funding, any type of audit procedures. According to the government code section that governs this, sheriffs are required to spend the money only on court security, and there's language that I believe says they're prohibited from using it for general county operations. So, but the problem is there's no audit that goes with that. So if the sheriffs tell you we spent it all, they spent it all. If the sheriff says we didn't spend it all, there's no way to determine where the extra money is or make sure it conformed to the government code section. So I wanted just to bring that to your attention and see if anyone had any strong feelings on this issue that they wanted to share so that we could have a discussion about that. Mike.
Put me number three on your list. Our sheriff told us they were $3 million in the hole, and their survey request will come in at $5.4 million. Mm-hmm. I don't know where the difference is.
We had the same result.
Oh, I mean, it'll be very interesting when the final bill gets tallied up. I think it's going to be far in excess of what we thought it might be. And there's no way to determine it. And frankly, I have no interest in it because the money doesn't involve the court. I keep it separated. I think other folks might be curious, and it's a tough situation.
Other thoughts, Kurt?
Yeah, so this is a really weird situation for us in the sense that since realignment, the money's not in the court's budget, with a couple of exceptions. We did meet with CSAC and the Sheriff's Association roughly 3 weeks ago, I think it was, and they basically expressed no interest in carrying a BCP whatsoever. That was a strong no from the Sheriff's Association. CSAC was a little bit more iffy in that they said, well, they have, you know, many, many other issues in addition to security that they need to be concerned about. The commitment that we made to them is once we got the survey results back, we will re-meet with them as a point of information. But and Zlocko can wait in here, too, because he was at the meeting also. But they were very standoffish on the whole issue. And so the rock in the hard place is that if somebody doesn't go forward with the BCP, then the courts are going to be hurt in those instances where the sheriff's is reducing the budget. So it is a real strange situation for us at this point in time.
Yeah, what I would add is the discussion it also sort of had a global feel to it in terms of overall realignment, in that the counties and obviously the sheriffs have more than just court security that they're worrying about. The overall, you know, criminal justice realignment is, you know, going to be probably their number one priority from the sheriff's perspective. And the CSAC representative indicated that, you know, there are other issues in terms of underfunding that involve health and human services and mental health. So they're looking at all of the shortfalls and wondering what's their strategy. So, you know, I see it as they're not ready to commit to say, yeah, we'll put this at the top of our list. It might be on their list eventually, but in terms of overall priority, they weren't in a position to state that. So, I mean, they understood the problem, but they're saying that they're short everywhere as a result of realignment, which in part was part of the expectation that counties could do it for cheaper, and therefore they got 70, 60, 50%, you know, 50 cents on the dollar for the state costs. I think at this point our preliminary numbers from the survey put the shortfall in like the $15 million range. Staff are still working on going through, but that was what we have so far. That's a pretty decent shortfall. But again, it's in many cases it was just reported and passed on. So how we verify that? But as Kurt said, if we're not asking, then and the sheriffs aren't going to step up, then what happens in terms of your courtrooms if there, you know, are service reductions in security?
David.
So a couple points, and thank you everybody who had participated in the submission of the survey. A few more are coming in, and as Zlocko said, the current tally is about $15 million. But the other thing that I understand happened during this conversation with CSAC and the Sheriff's Association is that they're not at all interested in looking at reshuffling the money that we currently have. Because in some of the surveys that we saw, there was a little bit of a surplus. Mm-hmm. Is it enough to put us over the top and making up that $15 million difference? The answer is no. But obviously no county, no court wants to operate with less funding because then everybody gets put in the same murky water. So that's one of the issues. But the other thing is we have an obligation to keep our courthouse is safe, and we have to have an obligation to keep them open. And if we're not part of that solution, then we're basically in the same situation of closing courts because we don't have sufficient resources. So I know we're somewhat engaged in a little bit of a dance of who's going to, you know, take the lead, but the fact is our courts are going to close unless we get some additional funding. And it's not just next year or this year. It's subsequent years because the funding is just not enough to sustain the costs that are associated with court security. So I think that we should be more active than inactive because we're ultimately going to be the ones that have to answer up to the legislature or whomever why we close doors. And it's because our courts aren't safe. And do we want to send that message? I think that's a problem.
So are you suggesting that we should be pursuing a BCP to make up the difference?
I would make a motion if that's being requested. Now, it may not – I mean, we're on different pages on this issue. But without security, with having a $5 million hole in San Diego, something's going to close.
I don't think it's either. Five. I don't think it's five, and I can't do anything to validate it, audit it, check it, challenge it. Anything.
And that's the problem.
That's the problem.
Mary Beth.
Can you describe, Zlotko or Kirk, how does that BCP process work when it's not the branch's funding? How would what would that look like? Because I might fall on a different side, but I don't quite understand what that would look
like. Sheriff's Association doesn't go to the Department of Finance with a filled-in form like we do.
Right.
They would set up a meeting with the governor and say, here are our funding priorities at some point, you know, during the fall.
But if we did it, what would it look like since it's not our fund?
I mean, while there is the realignment pot, we would say we need general fund resources to pay the sheriffs for the shortfall. How Department of Finance deals with it, I mean, we're not going to – they have to deal with the mechanism. What we have to communicate to them is there is a shortfall as a result of realignment that's not being addressed. And I think, as we've heard, if we don't present the problem – I mean, if they'll say, well, where did you get this information? We got it from the sheriffs. As you've created this process, we can't audit, and therefore we have to represent. If they want to go back and ask the sheriff to do something, that's theirs to do in their analysis. But we have to present the figures as presented because we don't have an ability to question them. I mean,
would we
that's the finance set is just a timing issue.
Statutory amendment.
Can you use
Would we strictly use the BCP process, or would we contemplate also proposing some legislative amendment to get rid of the ambiguity that really has created this?
You can do a lot of things in the BCP, okay, which include changing statute. That's what trailer bills are all about. So if we want to propose some level of audit, that's what this can be recommended, or, you know, greater transparency. It's ours as a group to think about.
But to answer your question, we've never done a BCP like this. This is new territory for us.
Kimberly?
And I guess that was my concern, because I was one of the courts saying, not our issue, have the sheriffs do it. And I did provide that survey to them. They then completed it. We've yet to submit it because the numbers, I can't prove those numbers. And in fact, they included costs that have historically never been funded. Transportation, mm-hmm, at almost $1 million. Mm-hmm. They threw that in, all of those indirect costs, the overhead costs, they threw all of that in there. And when we've asked for clarification before I have any participation in submitting it, they can't define it. They won't define it for us. So it looks like they're $3 million shortfall when there probably isn't.
Judge Slough.
And I think that is why it is absolutely necessary that we do something, because as David points out, we're the ones that are being impacted by the issue, not them. Their priorities are very different, and rightfully so. It is our issue. And it will only compound year after year as costs continue to go up. And if we delay and don't do anything, and we know the likelihood of them doing something is not great, it only compounds the impact on us with every year that passes that we don't get the issue addressed.
Rick.
This is a question for Zacco. If we do go forward with our own proposal, in your estimation, will we get very far without the sheriff's direct support?
Will we get far without their direct support? I think saying that we've worked with them and explaining to the Department of Finance why they can't come to a conclusion about their, you know, being a top priority, I think they would understand that, given that they have shortfalls in, you know, your criminal justice realignment. But to say that, you know, we have numbers, if we tell them these are numbers provided by them, I mean, that is, I think, helpful in so much as we've worked with them, mm-hmm, at least from a technical standpoint, and we didn't create our own figures for this request.
And I heard you talk about what CSAC's concerns were. Is that the exact same concern shared by the sheriffs, or do they have different issues with this?
No, I think they're similar in so much as they're feeling that, as we all know about AB 109 and the criminal justice realignment, they're concerned about what will come from the Supreme Court's decision on additional prisoner releases and what that might mean in terms of their jail capacity. And so if that comes to fruition, then they're probably likely going to put their number one priority is additional funding to operate their jails and provide services to offenders released to the community. Mm-hmm. So in terms of court security, it's important, but it's not as, you know, the same as, I think, AB 109.
Is there some way to turn this around where we get them to support this because it helps address their other concerns? Like if we close courtrooms and people have to stay in jail longer, that's on their dime. I mean, are there ways that we can kind of turn that around?
And let me clarify part of at least the strategy internally that we were kicking around, and that is, since this is an immediate problem, that the thought process was we would submit a deficiency request otherwise, there's no relief in the current year. So, you know, we think we need to submit a deficiency request if this is what this body wants to do, as well as a budget change proposal for 14-15. So it's both vehicles.
I had Sean.
So actually, Yolo's in a very similar situation as is Butte. When we received the survey, it was much different than what our previous costs were, but there's no way to substantiate that. But my question is, what is the downside? Is there a downside to submitting a BCP? Do we somehow expend political capital that we don't have? Is that the issue?
I think I have an answer for that, but I think Sherry Carter has that answer.
Well, I think there's a lot of downsides, and I don't think it's our responsibility. And I have a – let me throw this out to you, Sean. We submit a BCP for restoration of funding, for benefit increases, for a variety of other things that are our direct responsibility and things that we need funding for, and then we add this one on top of it. If that's the one that they pick to fund, is that really the one that's our priority? I just think that there's so many things that we need to seek our own funding for that we're responsible for. Why would we possibly take on our backs something that doesn't belong to us?
And I actually, this is the beauty of being chair. I can jump in when I want, right? I know other people are waiting. I actually have a reason that's different than Sherry's that I think folks should consider. We're being used in a political game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the sheriff is using us to try to get additional funding. They don't want to go get it themselves because they, first of all, I'm not sure they can justify their need or how they spent the money in the past. And so they're much happier pushing us to go do it for them. But they won't just expect us to do it this year because these costs are related to increased costs for health and retirement benefits, which will go up every year. So my concern is that perhaps we find ourselves facing this discussion again next year. Go ahead, Tanya, and then Rebecca.
I absolutely agree with Sherry. And we were at court that said, no, we don't think it's our responsibility. Although I don't disagree with David, I think the big component of this is that we don't have a mechanism to ensure that the funds are spent on what they need to be spent on. Because when we were in the old days, before we did this, you know, I wouldn't pay that bill without an absolute accounting of every single minute that was spent, and it had to be audited and signed off by the sheriff, right, and pay the bill. Now, I mean, our group's saying, you know, they have enough money to be able to let their folks go on vacation. They're not having to pay overtime. It's like all of these things. Because I know they couldn't spend what I used to get. So I know that they don't have a need. That's not to say they don't have a need everywhere. But I don't think it's our fight. I think I would rather be reinvesting in the courts, in our general operations, and taking care of business.
Rebecca, then Judge Good, and then back to Sean.
You know, if the sheriff was willing to go forward, I would say, yes, let's support them. But the key to dancing is there's two people, you know, or more. And if we're the only ones out there dancing and we don't have a good audit standard to ensure that any new money is being spent on the courts, most of any new funding that my sheriff got went into some category called other. I got nothing to support it. I couldn't back up the benefits. I couldn't back up even the salaries. We used to have a line by line, which deputy, what were their hours, all those things. It's all gone. I think I agree with Sherry. We have so many other areas that we have to go forward with. I can understand that the sheriffs have their other priorities and their countywide issues. Well, we've gone through a number of them today that we have as well. And so while I would support in concept the sheriff moving forward for new funding with some accountability, I would not use our political capital on that.
Judge Good.
Isn't it the case that security funding was taken out of our budget and just given directly to the sheriffs? Then how do we make a BCP for somebody else's budget? It seems to me that what we're being asked is, do we make a BCP request for somebody else's budget in a circumstance under which we can't be sure that even if they get that BCP, that money comes back to us? So it sounds to me as if this is really not a BCP. This is something else. This is laying before the Department of Finance the fact that their last maneuver hasn't worked, because it's made opaque what used to be transparent. and we know it's not working because we have courts that aren't getting sufficient security, and it's going to cause a problem for us. But I don't see how we can make a BCP for somebody else.
Sean?
So I asked that question half knowing the answer about the BCP. So, and I agree with Sherry's comments. To me, this is more of a legislative fix rather than a BCP budget process. So that's my suggestion.
So, Kirk.
I agree, Judge Good. It's a funky way to try and approach that. But I think the real answer is it's a matter of just getting it before the Department of Finance and having the conversation. I mean, a BCP puts them on notice. You know, if you do a deficiency, the deficiency does the same thing. But it is a little funky to be saying you'd be doing a BCP because there's no way they'd be giving us the dollars for security that to supplement the realignment dollars. So it would be going into the realignment fund.
I didn't know if funky was a technical financial term, but it does seem to me that for the reasons that Sherry and others have said, if we put it on our list of BCP, it counts badly. And if we find some other way of laying it before finance, that would probably be the better way of doing it.
What about the idea, though, that we at least address the auditing aspect of it? I think I heard you say, can we submit, is the way to propose an amendment to the legislation to include that the Sheriff's Department have to provide some measure of auditing to assure that the money's being spent on court security. Is that a BCP process?
That could be a legislative proposal to the Department of Finance. I'm just thinking whether or not they would see it as a mandate, as requiring them to report. They would then have to be reimbursed for the cost of reporting.
Like the judicial branch contracting law?
Well, and that's why that language ended up that way. Is because
what if we weaved it into the dispute resolution piece?
Well, that exists.
Yeah. That, you know, that's part of the dispute resolution piece of, you know, that before you take it up to the next level, you have to, you know, exchanged all of the, you know, full disclosure of how the money's being spent. I don't know.
Mike? Did I see another hand over my left? Judge Masanaga?
But it doesn't sound like the sheriffs are really asking for, you know, we're pushing forward something. I mean, to require them to audit when they're not asking for more money. And I agree with Judge Good and CEOs Carter and Fleming that talk about, you know, undermining our own credibility in terms of the BCPs that we should be forwarding on behalf of the branch. And it just seems like, we're having some problems with our. You know, we have to work with our sheriff department when they said that they don't have bailiffs provide so many, you know, like we can combine our court calendars and whatnot, but it just seems that until, like, we can't force them to do an audit. I mean, if they're not willing to come forward and ask for more money, then I think we're just kind of, you know, again, it just seems like we don't want to expend our credibility or undermine our own credibility.
Mike?
Is this an issue, and I know you're on the council and others are, that has risen to the level of the council in terms of the potential for a conflict? Because I think you've correctly put it as a political problem. They're pushing on the weakest link in the chain, and that's us. Mm-hmm. We carry the smallest constituency per se. We've been really successful recently in dealing with some of the legislative initiatives that they're unions and others are putting onto the courts, and the sheriff's playing the same game. If they're not that interested about it, if we really care about it, then you guys go take care of it, and at the expense of potentially something that's of more direct operational impact to us, I share Sherry's concerns in that regard. I can see this one coming to the place where a court is faced with a core constitutional issue impairing their ability to function. If they say to you, Judge, we're taking away bailiffs in your criminal courtrooms, that's pretty core. Does the council realize, have they weighed in, have they discussed, have they talked about this issue? I think it's more than just a money issue.
So it has not come to the council?
And I'm suggesting maybe we ought to start having a broader conversation because I don't think it's a finance budget issue per se. I agree with you in that regard.
Mary Beth.
I was going to say perhaps our recommendation moving forward on this issue is that
you know, ultimately it is the council who's going to determine what the priorities are for putting forward BCPs, but that on this issue that they, you know, may want to look at other remedies, and that those might need to be explored in tandem with consideration of whether a BCP is the appropriate way to go.
Well, let me ask the question, because I think I heard Kurt Soderlund, I could be wrong, it could be the other Kurt to my left here, that is this really not a BCP but a deficiency request? And because it sounds, I'm not familiar with deficiency requests. It sounds like it's in the current fiscal year, but does the same philosophy apply there?
It's the same.
Right?
It's the same.
Okay.
It's just the terminology for current year budget change.
You know, to me, this is a policy issue, not a budget issue, and I think it ought to be taken up as a policy issue. Tell us what the policy is, and then let us put the, you know, then approach it from a budget standpoint. I think this is the cart before the horse.
So
Judge, I guess the question, how do we know there's a deficiency? We can't verify anything. We don't know.
Right.
And they haven't made a request. But believe me, if they need money, they're going to go and make the request. Those guys know how to get the money. And they're much more powerful than the courts are, but the legislature and the government. They can do it.
In terms of the question that we were initially started with, which is whether or not a BCP should be pursued on behalf of the trial courts for these funding deficiencies, in order to give some sort of guidance on this issue, I would like to see kind of a show of hands on where folks fall on that. So if you are in favor of pursuing a BCP on this issue, could you just state so?
Yes.
Yes.
Two. And if you're opposed to that, could you raise your hand? That would be easier for me. All right.
No.
Someone on the phone want to cast a vote?
He said no.
No? Okay. Yeah. The next item on the list was security funding at new court facilities. And did you want to address the distinction there?
Yes. So here's where when recently courthouses were being planned and built, that predated the whole realignment activity, if you will, in terms of, if you think of the planning process, how long ago the planning for construction of new courthouses started. So we have some instances where we don't have sufficient funding to do two things. And what we're talking about here are facilities issues. This is generally speaking. And it's a concern for the for both the Facilities Advisory Committee as well as the Facilities Modification Advisory Committee in terms of, as it exists right now, there are some holes in security for the facilities and or to actually, in truth, to staff them. And again, that's because of the timing of how this all went down. And then in the facilities modification area, there is something else that's happening too. The Facilities Modification Advisory Committee has gotten some requests that have come in that are really security related in terms of replacing a panel, if you will, or some other security activity. And right now there's no specific pot that is available that's separate from the facilities modification total pot itself. So you're basically taking money from facilities modifications and cherry-picking dollars out for security-related activities. And so part of the thought process was, you know, do we want to go forward with the budget change proposal asking for a pot of money to address security facilities deficiencies and new buildings as well as in existing buildings for facility modifications purposes. So that was the thinking behind that.
Mike?
Yeah, Kurt, any sense of how much of this of a breakdown when you're talking about security, increased security costs as a result of new facilities, how much of it is to kind of the entrance screening, building secure, you know, the ground security, cameras, you know, alarms, those kind of, versus deputy sheriffs. Do you get a sense of what the distinction
is? We've got three courts that are going to be coming up in the, you know, this fall and early spring that are completed that have additional courtrooms. They've got control centers now that they didn't have before that will actually require a a new body to do. So, and a couple of these, we've done an analysis. Security's done an analysis to get a sense on whether, you know, we agree that there would be some increased security needs from these new facilities. Of course, the blowback we get is, well, I thought these were new, more efficient facilities. Well, they are, but they're also more secure facilities as well. So there's, it usually comes in the, that we're seeing at least on the three coming up, like Calaveras and Hollister, is control rooms and holding cells. So increase, we've got holding cells where there weren't holding cells before that have to be staffed. So we do have a sense on those projects what the ultimate costs would be for each of those. And it'll be ongoing for any new projects that are coming up. And I haven't heard anything on Long Beach, actually, but that, I think, is getting worked out. The larger courts propose perhaps a bigger problem. But that's where, at least on these smaller courts that are coming up now, it's control room and holding cells.
Yeah, because I think that it is a kind of a funding issue when you're talking about the facilities aspects of it. It's a different ballgame, though, when you get to talk about sheriff staffing and staffing levels and whether they want to have the choice of using the holding cells or bringing everybody over in a chain, if that's what they still want to do, you know. So I think if we could distinguish between those, move forward on kind of the facilities piece. I mean, that seems to me to be, you know, a BCP eligible type of program.
I was just going to say one thing. As we talked with the courts in those, two of the three thought that they can work with the sheriff in getting something worked out, at least, you know, to have the projects come up online. One is not so sure that they actually think they need additional bodies.
Mary Beth?
So is it, I support the bodies. I don't think every project ends up with that net need, but for those that do, that, you know, if you were in a wholly, wholly deficient facility that just couldn't even accommodate weapon screening, then you're moving into one that's modern and can, there's a hole there. My question is, if we do the BCP, does that money, if it's for the security personnel, does that go to the sheriff? Does that go to us?
Yeah.
So now do you have kind of this bifurcated funding system for your court security in that instance?
Yeah. Just to add to my earlier comments is I think it's the facilities and the staff working for the court that staff those facilities or through contract, for example. I know there's a difference between whether the sheriff's provide and do the entrance screening, the perimeter screening, or whether you contract out for private security.
Yeah. And I know, I mean, I do know in Calaveras it's currently the sheriff, but there's nothing to say that if they don't want to play nice, you don't end up with a private. Yeah. You know, I think there are a lot of different ways to approach it. I just think there needs to be some mechanism here, and we've got more courts coming down the pipe. I think for mine, I actually see savings as far as my piece of it goes, because I take two facilities, collapse it down to one, and I think it's going to be a case-by-case scenario for each new facility. But I would support it, you know, where it's really a demonstrated need that couldn't be anticipated, that the court's done everything that they can, that their old facility was so antiquated, it just was never built into that. So.
So can I ask by show of hands how many of you would support, be in agreement with the submitting a BCP to support security funding in new court facilities?
Let me just say before you take the vote that it's exactly the same problem we had on the last one. The sheriff is unaudited, spending our money, and it's a big mistake for us to go in and start asking for money that they need. We should be dealing with it on a political basis, just like the last one. Not getting ourselves out in front of the sheriff on something that we can't control and will only embarrass us if they're not spending the money the way they're supposed to.
Judge Cope.
I'm having trouble seeing how this would work, and Kurt Child's example is kind of an example of what I'm talking about. In Riverside County, we don't pay for the security in the holding cells. That's the county's obligation. We just do the, once they come to the courtroom, then it's our problem. We pay for them. And so, if that's different from county to county, how do you do a BCP statewide? I'm just following your example.
Yeah. Unless that's something you worked out. I mean, generally, it's the sheriff up to the to the door and then holding and so forth within the facility is our cost.
Okay.
Sherry.
And before you take the vote, someone suggested that you separate the facility costs for the facility modifications from the security deputy costs, and I think that's important because I think for security-related FMs that are our responsibility, that's different than the staffing component. So I would separate those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Evan, how are you? What numbers are you using to get to decide how much of a BCP we should go forward with? Is that coming from
our security folks? We'll have to work
from
it
the
out
security but, folks,
yeah, where they've done an analysis of whether the facility does require some additional deputies in it. So I think, as Judge Chateau was pointing out, you know, it may or may not be that case. I mean, the sheriff's position would be, if you've built a building, well, it is clearly their position. If you build a new building and they haven't figured out how to staff it, that's your problem. And in fact, we've got in a couple of these, I think, some building needs that do require additional deputies. Others, we may be able to sort of work out a deal with the sheriff. But I think they've got a point where, you know, if we've added something in a new facility that's new to what their existing level of services are, that would be.
So that assessment came from AOC.
Yeah, I'm not sure we've done all of them. It's the problem, and that's what we need to do is make sure we're doing analysis on all the new facilities to support it.
And Sherry was right on point that she serves on the advisory committee for facilities modifications. That these really are two separate issues. One's staffing. And one is just related to the building itself.
That we own.
That we own, yes.
That's the difference in my opinion. We own the building, we should maintain the building.
Just a quick comment, and it's something that Mary Beth said, which I think is a key point, and that is if we submit the BCP for security personnel for the new facilities, we would get the money versus the money that got transitioned to the sheriffs through realignment, so you'd have this bifurcated process. So would we be requesting the funding for the new facilities, but if it was approved, the money goes directly to the sheriff and not to the branch, which would be kind of hokey.
Right.
So if we understood that there's a kind of a bifurcation and that funding for facility modification costs at new courthouses as opposed to security-related costs. Is there support for a BCP for funding modification costs at new courthouses?
No, these are the existing buildings.
It says new courthouses.
Maintenance, the maintenance of the equipment.
It says new courthouses.
I know.
Okay. But if we're talking about security costs related to new courthouses, is there support for that?
For facilities?
Even given the discussion we had about the politics and what Jody said about the funding?
I think it's a little different because it's growth. It's growth, but me by myself, yay. I will go on record. We have a new facilities program, notwithstanding the budget reductions and everything that's going on out there. We're building new facilities, and we can't leave these courts high and dry and unable to function in these new facilities. And that's where I'm kind of coming from.
Sure. Design and all of that, so they know that you're.
But they didn't know we were going to have the – I mean, I can speak from experience with Calvers. I was there when we went through the design process. We didn't have realignment at that time. Mm-hmm. So the game changed, and it does make it a lot more complicated. But anyway, I'll be the rebel.
That's exactly at the same rate.
And then we talk about facility maintenance costs. Existing facilities.
Administration.
That's great. I can speak to that one, too.
Okay. So we just talked about facility maintenance costs at existing facilities. But the list included facility operation costs for new courthouses.
So I can cover that one,
okay,
too. So what's happening is when new courthouses come online after they've been constructed, there needs to be staff, and we're not talking security here, but other kinds of staff, like trades and crafts types of folks, building managers, to basically make sure that the building functions the way that it's supposed to. So we have submitted requests like this in the past to the Department of Finance, and they have denied them every time. Related to that also is requests that we want to move forward that would recognize there are inflationary costs for the operation of these new facilities over time. And the requests that we had submitted previously asked for general fund money. The Department of Finance took the position they recognize the problem, but there is no general fund money, so tough. So that's another BCP concept that we wanted to throw out there. So there's the facilities modification as it relates to security, and just facilities. Then there's the general operation of these buildings.
Mike?
This is an important one, because after listening to the very sobering presentations from our facilities committee about the current deficits in ongoing operations and maintenance, all we're going to do is build new buildings and then watch them become completely deficient in 20 years. I mean, we've got to try to get a handle on it, so I think it's a worthy endeavor, but I know that there's been a reluctance to fund those things, but we got to try, I suspect, at some point.
So in terms of facility operation costs for new courthouses, is there a, can I see by show of hands a support for that? And facility operation costs for transferred facilities. I keep forgetting to tell you the results of the survey.
Yeah.
So the results of the survey on this were 26 in favor, 5 disagreed.
On the transferred or the?
On transferred facilities. On the new courthouses, it was 23 in favor of a BCP, 8 opposed.
Could I have the list of names of the courts who didn't want that BCP, and I'll pass it on to Judge Power?
they're included in your materials.
Yeah, you have all the survey results.
Oh, all right, okay. Well,
and let me just say, we're one of them. And the thinking is not that we don't need the money, but this is the wrong way to ask for it. You know, bit by bit, as a new courthouse comes online, they need to figure out how to fund more than, you know, the furniture in the courthouse, the maintenance, and all of the things we need, and then we need to have a funding source for that, and that should be the push rather than dealing with a Band-Aid just 1 year and then coming back the next year and saying, oh, we have a couple of new courthouses, we have the same problem.
That's a good point.
Any thoughts on the facility operation costs for transferred facilities?
You have somewhat the same issue. There can be modifications that are made to a building that represents, you know, some kind of an improvement for facilities mods, and you run across the same kind of an issue.
Marybeth.
So I think I did, when you look at mine, I think we did say we opposed, but let me explain. We looked at the BCP process as everything's in competition with restoration. And that restoration of funding is our discretionary funding. And it's getting harder and harder to flexibly meet the needs of our court with less and less discretionary funding. And so that's how we approached the survey, that we felt everything is in competition with that. We looked at new facilities. That's a new program. You kind of have to take care of the new program. But so that's kind of how we approach things. And
yeah.
Mike.
This is another area that falls under the equity type of argument, because those of us who have had these security systems built in for years now have been paying for them. They're designed, developed. We're talking about, you know, building security cameras, duress alarms, badge access, and those are we've been paying for those for 20 years. They're part of our baseline budget. It's an absorbed cost. Now, if you're in a new transferred building and need those, then we're asking for additional funding as well. So that was the nature of our comment. Not that we don't think it's a good idea that everybody should have facilities that are modified to be secure, but there's you know, it's it becomes an issue of when you came to the dance on that issue.
Let me ask then, by a show of hands, how many would be in support of a BCP for facility operation costs for transferred facilities? And those opposed? So it looks like the consensus is support. Trial court technology needs. There were 36 courts, by the way, responding to the surveys. 28 were in favor of a BCP for trial court technology needs. 5 were opposed. My understanding that the BCP would be somewhat of a placeholder. It wouldn't identify a specific cost because we're waiting for the work of Judge Herman's committee to determine what our needs are. Any thoughts on that?
Can I ask a question? On the placeholder, what if we're not ready? Then do we lose any political position if we say, you know, we submit it again? If we put in a placeholder, we're not ready, what harm is there?
If you don't put finance on notice in September of the potential for a placeholder, then you're pretty much walled out of that whole process for the balance of the fiscal year or for the next fiscal year.
Flip side, if you put in a placeholder and then you don't have the information you need to replace the placeholder with a BCP, is there any downside? Is there any political downside in doing that?
In my view, no. I mean, we can choose not to. We can say we're going to submit a placeholder and then choose not to in February.
Okay.
There's no harm.
Judge Masanaga?
I just have a clarification question. Are we in a position to, if we do submit either some kind of a placeholder, to really give them some dollar figure on what that would be?
Well, tied to the submission of a BCP placeholder, yeah, we will have to eventually come up with some dollars, and that's the work of Judge Slough and Judge Herman and the CIOs up and down the state. That's what they're trying to arrive at.
When would we have to get more specific? In other words, replace the placeholder with specific requests?
By February.
And it's early February is when finance letters are.
It's like Valentine's Day.
Can I see by a show of hands how many would support the submission of a BCP for court, trial court technology needs?
As a placeholder?
As a placeholder.
With that qualification?
Yes. Any opposed? Unanimous. It looks like in favor. The next proposal was second 50 judgeships. Of the 36 courts responding, 22 were in favor, 8 were opposed. Those that were opposed, it seemed to be that the consistent comment was that we don't have sufficient staff to support the second 50 judges. But L.A. County, in answering theirs, indicated that it is imperative that any funding requests for additional judgeships also include funding for the appropriate support staff and security resources. My understanding is it includes courtroom support staff, but would it necessarily include support staff, perhaps like deputy clerks, necessary to process the work of that department?
It's a staffing complement that goes with the judgeships that includes also security staff inside the courtroom and outside courtroom.
And what she's referring to is front counter staff. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I think we staff it at 6.2 positions.
Yeah.
So here's the question. How does that work with WAFM?
That's what I was just
yeah. I mean, and that's what I put in my response was, I'm all for it because to some extent it might be a way to get more money for the whole branch because once we put it into WAFM, it redistributes anyway. But I don't know that the court that gets that new judgeship is going to feel so good about that.
Well,
but
as one of the courts that will get 6-7 new judgeships, yeah, that's appropriate.
But you're an under-resourced, so you'll probably see those resources. But if you were a better resourced court and you got those staff, but through the WAFM, all that would be redistributed possibly down to you. And if you didn't get, you know, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So something needs to be addressed.
I see your point, but I don't think that ought to be part of the equation. It's just funding
for
the branch.
I think it could be a reason to support it because It would be a way to bring new funding in. Yes, exactly. It's just, would it go directly only to that court, or would it be redistributed eventually under the model?
So I guess, and my question would be, isn't the funding tied to AB whatever the number is, that like for in our county and others said, here are X number of new judges, but there's no funding for it. So isn't this funding tied to that assembly bill?
I think we found another item for our parking lot. If I could see by show of hands how many would support the submittal of a BCP for the second 50 judgeships.
I do.
Hang on just a second. With the staffing component. And any opposed? So it's unanimous.
Not to complicate this one, but there is then the question, on these are the 159 judges, and so the methodology was tied to the caseload in 2009. So the question would be, I think you'd need to include with this a statutory fix if the intent is going to be to use the current caseload for the allocation of the judgeships, which would be different than the old one.
Well, this is Jake. I don't think that Mary Beth's point was about the judgeships, right? It was about the staff that go with them.
Yes.
Right.
But if you're tying the staffing to the judgeships, which is how they're funded, right, the staffing would follow the judgeship.
Not necessarily. So what I'm saying is, so that staffing is really, the court sees it in an allocation. You get an amount of money. That now changes your base. It changes your overall percentage. And when we reshuffle under WAFM, you may, if you were a better resource quarter, that makes you a better resource quarter. Might see some loss of that in a redistribution.
Right. So as part of that BCP, then, you would absolutely need a statutory change.
I don't think we want to be on that floor.
That's probably not. No. I think that's right. I think it's just on the assignments. I think that's right.
I think we just need to deal with that internally.
Yeah, that's internal to the branch.
Yeah,
I think that's right.
So the next item was submittal for the third 50 judgeships. This was a closer call on the survey. 16 agreed, 13 disagreed, and it seemed that those who disagreed consistently said that we should focus on the first, strategically we should focus on the first 50 and not kind of mitigate our ask by reaching too far.
And to clarify on the third 50, the thought process was that the second 50 have been authorized, they just weren't ever funded. So the former item that we just talked about, we're trying to get the funding for the second 50. The thought process on the third 50 would be just to get the authorization, not the funding at this point in time, given the governor's slowness in making appointments and also recognizing the fact that right now there are 46 judgeship vacancies throughout the state.
But to get the authorization, I don't know that you need a BCP. That's something OGA would work on through legislation. So
in terms of bringing to the administration, one way to do it.
To highlight it for them.
For them is say, they'd have to sign the bill, so they'd have to be willing to support it throughout.
Right. And we've done those bills every year until this year, and they always die.
Well, let me just ask, it seems like our colleagues at least think, I want to see if this body agrees that at least advocating for authorization for the next 50 would be appropriate regardless of the method that is done. Is there a support for that? Yeah. On authorization. Is anyone opposed to that strategically?
That's not a BCP.
No. Well, not necessarily.
That's where I would be.
A legislative proposal.
You can advocate for, but I don't know if you...
That'd be more right. BCL.
Right. BCL. Judge, I'm sorry. Just going back to the first 50 then, and it's putting the staff aside, we would need a statutory change if the allocation is going to be different than the 09 allocation of the judgeships. So there is
where each
judge would go. So if you shift to current caseload data, it would be different in some respects. I can't remember exactly, but the allocation would go different places if you use current methodology as opposed to the methodology that's in the statute right now.
Rebecca?
I don't see where the allocation would have to be different, because you could still allocate the staff assigned to those judgeships to the court. It puts them at a different base, which would throw them into a different place on the list anyways, and it's redistributed on the backside.
Not the staff, just the judgeship.
I didn't think we were talking about redistributing judgeships. I didn't understand that.
Well, that's the question, is ultimately, if you seek the 50, what methodology do you use for the allocation of those judgeships? Caseloads in 09 or current caseloads?
Kurt, this is Jake. Is it okay, Judge Earl?
Go ahead.
Okay. I think the difference here is what we're saying is there's a report that goes to the council from the Office of Court Research related to the judgeship needs study. I don't hear anyone else here proposing that cycle be changed in any way. So whatever the last report was that was produced is what would be used related to those judgeships. Right? The discussion is, well, then there's a money that we would ask for the staff to go with that, but that's going to then come as a funding amount to the council to then allocate the dollars for staff, which would fall into the workload model. But I think we just used the last report prepared by Office of Court Research, and I don't know when their next one's due.
But that's not what the statute says, as I recall. The statute says that we have to use the 09 methodology,
okay.
Caseload.
But why would we revisit that?
Yeah.
If the legislature were to say suddenly, we've got some extra money, let's fund those 50 judgeships, we wouldn't want to revisit it. And so why would we revisit it on a BCP?
Because it's old caseload data.
But it would be, even if the legislature did it of its own volition, that's the data that was used.
Because it was current at the time, but that's right.
The position of the SB 56 working group has been to recognize those as they were allocated. And so because, you know, when you go in, for example, we have 24 authorized positions. Well, we really only have 23. So we had a discussion about whether or not those should be counted. And the SB 56 working group took the position, that's the allocation. We don't want to revisit that. And so when the funding finally comes, that's how that will be distributed. So I'm sure it could be revisited, but at least SB 56 working group has been working under the assumption that it will not.
Yeah. So we would just have to have that statutory change if you were to change that in the BCP.
Mike?
I think that's a council question.
Yeah, it is.
You know, once the decision's made and the money comes through, and then we'll allocate the money, but this whole thing seems to me to be kind of, in Mike's words, a policy decision, not a funding decision. The council needs to figure that one out.
And we just want to make sure there's still a facilities piece to that allocation, correct? Because that would be real important.
There is. The last item on the list that the AOC had proposed was benefit increases, and we received 34 responses, 33 in favor, 1 opposed. And it should note that the county that was opposed wasn't imposed with receiving benefit increases, but did not think the BCP was the appropriate mechanism to do so, that we should just demand they fund our benefit increases like they do every other state-funded agency. Yeah. So is there support for a BCP for benefit increases? Barry, did you want to comment before we took that vote?
Yeah, I certainly support it, but in terms of a BCP, as I understand it, prior to Sal, this was just a given. And when, prior to Sal, this was a given, as I understand it.
No, there were BCPs submitted for a variety of baseline
But I thought the benefits increases were given across the government. And
after Sal was taken away, Judge, is when AOC went to DOF and said, we don't have Sal that can automatically, you know, assist us in paying for the increases. But we'd like to have a similar mechanism as that of the exec branch agency. So when Sal stopped for the branch is when the automatic planning estimate adjustments kicked in.
But as I understand it, this happens across the entire government.
Right. So
government, yes.
Except for us.
So to clarify, up until this year that we're now currently in, it used to be just a technical adjustment. You're correct.
Right.
And it was applicable to all the executive branch departments and state agencies. That's what they took away from us for this fiscal year, and that's what we want to fight to get back in. The reason we want to submit the BCP is that they walled us out on the same issue last year. So we need some mechanism to bring it back before them.
Okay. If it's a mechanism, I have no problem with it, but I think we ought to fight for the principle that if everybody in government gets it, why not us? And if it's, quote, a technical adjustment for everybody else, not a BCP, it should be a technical adjustment for us and save our political capital for something else on BCP.
Couldn't agree more.
Sherry?
The governor's been negotiating increases for the state employees. What is the mechanism we use to say we're state-funded, too, and we would like the same 4.5%? What mechanism do we use for that?
So that's on the list, too, in terms of obviously right now only one union has settled that has a current year implication, and that's CHP. The SEIU settlement does not go into effect until 14-15. And that's only if the economic conditions are correct. If the economic conditions are favorable, then the increase will be equal to 2.5%. If it's not favorable, it'll be an increase of 4.5%, but not until 15-16. So part of our process is to see what's happening on a statewide basis. We heard yesterday that CCPOA was close to an agreement, so in our minds we'll be putting forward a branch-wide request that includes trial courts as well as the state-level entities, so for both.
So what is the process? That's not BCP. A BCP. That's a different process we use? Or it is a BCP?
It's a BCP. No, it's a BCP.
Okay. Judicial salaries is totally separate, but everyone else in the branch would be a BCP.
Right. Thank you.
So one second before we continue the conversation, I do think we could have a little lengthier discussion about this, and I'm willing to do that. But I want to tell those folks who need to get to the San Francisco airport, the shuttle leaves at 3:05, and the next shuttle is not till 3:35. So with that, I wanted to advise you of that. In terms of the shuttle to the Oakland airport, it will leave 10 minutes after our meeting concludes. So, Chris, did you have something?
I did. Mine's more about the process. So now we've gone through the BCPs that were related to the surveys.
Well, there's another piece of it.
Okay.
The other piece of it is we asked trial courts to weigh in on what they thought, what their top priorities, and they listed kind of their top three priorities, and I wanted to give you the results of that and then see if you want to have a discussion of whether we would make a recommendation as to what we think are the top priorities, if we can put them in priority order. The number one priority was benefit increases, with 26 courts responding favorably to that. And this was courts that they listed them in their top three, and benefit increases was the top priority for 26 of the courts. Next was technology. 15 courts put technology as a top priority. Next was the second 50 judgeships. 11 courts put that within their top three. And then from there on, it was security funding deficiencies, facility operations costs, costs associated with new court facilities. There were two or three courts that put down, and this was something alluded to by, I think, Kimberly, trial court trust fund restoration and elimination of the $261 million reduction in general should be a priority. Facility costs for transferred facilities. Two courts raised the issue of staff salary increases. That should be a priority. Two courts raised cost to expand self-help centers, and one court raised cost to expand interpreter services. So I just wondered if this body wants to have a discussion about and make a recommendation of what we believe the top funding or BCP priorities should be for the trial courts this year. Chris?
Cheryl, that kind of gets to my question. So I've heard a couple other things mentioned, like the salary BCP that we think we need to do, the court-appointed counsel BCP that we may be doing. Is this a complete list? Are we discussing a complete? Because these things were kind of mentioned in passing today. Is there another list, and shouldn't they all be here for consideration of priorities or not? I mean, where's, like, the complete list?
So, yeah, we did not know about the court-appointed dependency counsel. Heard that today. I don't know if there's any others that impact the trial courts that you think are out there.
Or even, Judge, I'm sorry, that don't, even ones that don't impact the trial courts, because we had a long discussion today about our political, using up our political capital, and don't you think that should be a discussion branch-wide about all the BCPs? Shouldn't someone have that discussion, I guess?
Yeah, so there's a list of things, as I mentioned previously, Jody, Kurt, Zlatko, Corey, and Giselle will be meeting with the Department of Finance at 9 o'clock, I believe, 9:30 on Friday. So there's other BCPs, obviously, that involve the like the appellate courts and the Supreme Court. There are other issues that we want to talk to finance about. Remember the big brouhaha last year with how the Department of Finance displayed some of the numbers that were, in our view, very misleading because they were counting, as an example, facilities costs. So one specific request, this is not a BCP, but from Judge Jarre, is that we want to make sure the Department of Finance doesn't do that again so that there is truth in the numbers that they're putting forward, because that was a big hill for us to overcome. Go ahead.
Have we talked about all of the BCPs today other than the courts of review?
Right.
We have?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I thought there were ALC requests, maybe staffing requests, ALC staffing requests, Supreme Court's appellate court requests. I thought there were other things.
There's a placeholder that's out there for AOC, and we're not sure what's going to go forward with that. That would be tied to if there's some new initiatives that the chief wants to put forward. That we don't have the staffing for that, but that has not been fleshed out, and that would just be a placeholder, because we simply don't know now. There still will be additional discussions about the 1%. Mm-hmm. There will be additional discussions about additional exclusions to add to that, like the encumbrances that we mentioned, and there'll be additional discussions about a replacement for Sal.
I'm just not sure I'm getting a bigger picture. Is it appropriate for this committee, is what I'm asking. Is it appropriate for this committee to get the full list and make a recommendation on what we utilize our political capital for as a branch? That's what I'm asking.
As a branch? I don't believe so, because okay. I think this is for trial courts.
Okay.
For trial courts, yes, but courts of review and judicial counsel /AOC, uh-huh. I'm not certain. That this body
would that be judicial counsel?
That would be the judicial counsel.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's what I want.
John.
I agree with that. Where I think Chris was going with this, and the one that stands out for me that could be controversial and certainly could weigh against some of the other priorities that I think we would have for the trial courts, is if the AOC was successful, and what I'm hearing a proposal is for added staff for the chief's priorities, that may be quite controversial with our workforce and underfunding in the trial courts.
And what would be envisioned? We're not talking added staff in terms of 20 or 30 positions or anything close to that. We're talking about, you know, an incidental number, you know, probably five or less positions, something along those lines.
But I think even if it's five or less in this environment, that's going to be very sensitive to a number of folks, and I think we ought to consider it, or at least have a method of giving our opinion on that.
And recall when we met about 6 weeks ago that, you know, we did bring this up at that point in time too. So it's not like we've been hiding the ball or anything on that.
So let me ask, are you comfortable in relying on the results of our colleagues in terms of how they prioritize the BCPs? Do you want me to read that again? Do you want this body to weigh in separately? What do people think?
May I ask a question about, we've heard the phrase, use up our political juice or whatever. I don't know. If you ask for too much, are you asking for too much, and does that hurt? I just don't know that, and that I think asking for too much is a bad thing. We, in fact, if we don't and if we prioritize too thin, then they go, why, if you need it, why are you only asking for these things? I mean, I just don't see a downside to being concerned about asking for too many different things through the BCP process.
And since it's been several years since the branch has submitted BCPs, I would agree with you, Judge. If every year we were submitting BCPs and all of a sudden we go in with like a dozen, I can see where they would say, wow, you know, what's wrong with you?
Right.
But there's been so many years that have gone by and we've not been in a position to be able to submit something, and we have been cut so significantly. Personally, I think it demonstrates the need that truly exists in the branch as a result of all of those reductions. And the worst thing that can happen is they're going to say no, but at least we've pointed out to them that there is a significant need in the branch.
I agree with that in general, but the other side of it is that we shouldn't be giving as a priority something that we've affirmatively voted not to support, such as the security issues.
Most certainly, Judge. I'm talking about the ones that you have agreed to move forward with as a priority. I don't think that that's too much.
But Judge Earl's list included the security as one of the priorities.
That's what the results of the survey.
Right.
Now, this body made a recommendation that that not be included.
Right. But
so
I thought you were saying, can we just support the list as proposed by the various courts, or do we have our own list? And I think to the extent that we've said no to something, we should have our own list.
I'll take that off. And I saw Rick's hand go up and Mike, but before we do that, I just want you all to be assured that in conversations with the chief, she absolutely intends to ask for restoration. That should not go unnoticed, that would be automatic.
So is that a BCP or is that another process?
It is a request for a budget change, additional resources, so it's a budget change proposal.
But practically speaking, what will happen, you can do a BCP, you put them on notice, but it all comes down to, you know, June and doing the battle in June on what the budget's going to be.
I mean, it starts with the December decision that the governor makes. And if you, I mean, we want the money in the budget so that the governor's not having this discussion about if 100 were in his budget, then 100 would have been in the budget. But since it was zero, the compromise was 63. We want the numbers to be in his budget in January so that it's recognizing a priority of the governor's budget rather than a negotiation of legislative priority versus the governor's priority.
Rick?
Back to Jody's comments, I agree that there's a balance between the number that you submit, but I assume that when we submit them, we say they're all important, but these are our priority. Is that correct?
BCPs are typically prioritized, and it would be prioritized. Your recommendation to the council and whatever the council adopts would be the priority.
Mike?
Yeah, I would find it real helpful to know what this list is because in our rounds of meeting with our local legislators, the question was to us, well, what are your priorities? If you got new funding, what would it be for? So, having a list that we could kind of advocate for in our meetings with legislators would have been helpful a few months ago.
And we all agree on the priorities.
Based on today's vote, Judge, we can easily put that list together as you voted on today and send it out so that you have that list of what actually transpired.
What we didn't do, this body has not prioritized those. Our colleagues have in response to the survey, but this body has not. And that was my question. Do we want to do that, or do we want to submit the results of the survey in terms of the priority that came in? Mm-hmm. We should probably do our own, is my suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll remind you of where our colleagues came in. First was benefit increases. Second was technology. Third was 50 judgeships. Fourth was facility operations costs. Next was costs associated with new court facilities. I would take off general restoration because that will be number one in terms of advocacy anyways. And then next was facility costs for transferred facilities, staff salary increases, self-help centers, and costs to expand interpreter services. Is there anything on the list that you would not want us to pursue? And there's also court-appointed counsel, a dependency counsel. Yeah. Mike?
To move it along, I'll make the motion that we adopt that list as the priorities of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee recommendation to the council. At least we frame the question.
Let me ask this: in regards to the cost to expand interpreter services, there was only one court that provided that information. I just threw that in there so that you all are aware of it. Is there? Does anyone want to make a friendly amendment to exclude anything?
I would like to make a friendly amendment to exclude that particular item.
Could I have a friend make that amendment then?
You don't have any, Mike. I'm sorry.
I second the motion as amended.
Yes.
Court-appointed dependency.
The other. And would we put court-appointed dependency counsel on the list as well?
Yes.
Does anyone have a desire to put it in a certain location or just make sure it's on the list?
Put it in place of the one you just took off.
Yeah. Okay. That was the last one. There was also two courts responded cost to expand self-help centers.
Yeah, I just, you know, let me just say the problem with all this that I'm just starting to think about is that this is tying us to categorical funding that we don't need. You know, we don't need the legislature to tell the Department of Finance to tell us how to spend our money. If they're going to give us more money, we should be able to say how we spend it court by court. And the more of these BCPs we do with special projects in mind, the more we're buying into that concept of funding.
Mary Beth.
So I support that, but I think coming into this meeting, I had exactly the same position. But what I was kind of, and the council has taken that position at least last year for the most part, restoration of funding, we wanted that to be the number one priority, and we didn't want anything else competing with that. But I think I was hearing, Jody, you say that that just hasn't worked well for us, you know, that we're not getting the placeholders in on the governor's budget, and so all we're fighting is the restoration fight, and we weren't winning too well. So did I misunderstand you as far as, you know, the pros and cons of putting in specific funding requests versus competing with the discretionary restoration of funding request? And do we shoot, you know, that I think kind of went to Judge Lau's question of what's the harm in putting it all out there. So
but I don't think there's anything wrong with the bigger 261 restoration, which is discretionary, if you will. There's really no harm if there is a greater statewide need for specific areas like self-help. The concern I would have is if there's just two courts who are saying self-help, what dollar amount do you put to that BCP? And if it ends up being $30,000,
but how do we prevent even some of the higher priority ones from competing with the restoration? Is there any way around that? Does it help to have these other ones? Does it hurt to have these other ones? I think that's what we're trying to get our arms around.
I don't think, my own personal opinion, and the two Kurtz can chime in here, my own personal opinion is I don't think it could hurt, because the 261 is truly the restoration, but because of the significant cuts, it's not just about 261. Let's say they gave it to you, then they're like, you're whole now, go off and do your thing. Well, you're not whole. You know, you need the 261, and you have other critical needs. And I think if that's our message, then you've got to do the 261. And you know what? It might compete. You know, they may pick and choose which one, but we do have an obligation to demonstrate to them the overall need that exists in the branch. That's my own personal opinion. I think Kurtz could differ from that.
Right. So the advantage of BCPs is obviously, you know, we try and build the best business case going forward, and that's what the bean counters at finance are more used to seeing, and that's where you can build a better argument not only with the Department of Finance but with the Legislative Analyst's Office also. And to be perfectly frank, the restoration issue, that's really, it boils down to a political discussion between the chief and the governor.
And really, aren't we only making a list to submit to our judicial counsel for them to look through and them to vet and them to decide the priorities and the number to pass on?
Yes. But,
but your recommendation is something.
Yeah, I don't think we should do the throw it against the wall and see what sticks. I think we need to
Inform them more. But I don't think we have that. I don't think that's on our list. I think there's substantive issues.
Judge Walsh.
What's on it? Up for discussion right now are BCPs, not the eventual ask or the restoration. But just so it not go unremarked, I heard the term restoration used as it relates to the $261 million. I hope and trust that no one here thinks that $261 million is enough to bring this branch or these trial courts to where they should be.
That's correct.
So I hope real quickly we have an ask that's not just 261, it's not just the 475 that's missing, it's not the 700 million that Steve Chang came up with when we were doing the allocation, but it's some number way north of there that we have an ask that's based on what this branch needs to meet the duties it's given under the Constitution, the statutes, and the expectations of the state. And that's a big number that nobody's talking about.
Judge Good.
I had this exactly the same point.
I stole it from his memo, by the way.
As
so it's
Judge
really
Walsh,
his point. Okay.
Which is, I was curious to know how this discussion relates to the ask for next year and when we have that conversation, because I agree with Judge Walsh. That's a very different conversation than one I think we just had.
Well, it is, and I will tell you that at the PJ CEO meeting we're having at the end of the month, we do have one of the items on the agenda is to have a discussion about advocacy strategies for next year, because not only do we have the restoration, but we have the 1% fund balance cap that now is looming. And so we will have a kind of an open discussion about how should we prioritize those and how should we approach the strategy of those two things.
Well, then just for the record, anything that was said here today, any vote I took on any of these BCPs, I would like it noted that it has nothing to do with my position on the ask, which is completely different. And these are all nice things to ask for, but has nothing to do with what I think our branch ought to ask
for. That is noted, and I think the distinction is important.
The other thing that's important about the BCPs is, you know, part of our frustration has been a continuous effort to try and educate the Department of Finance about what our issues are, and the BCPs form a vehicle for having those kinds of discussions about where the needs are.
Well, if that's the case, this is the least of my needs. Benefits is a big need. Everything else on this list is kind of nice, but has nothing to do with what I really need, which is a lot more money. And I don't know how you say that to them, but I think when you talk about, quote, restoration, you ought to say, and by the way, we need a lot more money, and we're going to tell you how much we need. But this is just a smattering of things that it would be nice to have, but it's not going to restore access to justice in Contra Costa County.
Right, and we haven't had that conversation yet with the chief. That's coming up.
Okay.
Let me just ask, Mike, since you posed the motion, one of the items, that, working from the bottom of the list, was two courts suggested cost to expand self-help centers. And I thought I heard maybe a request to remove that from the list. Did I hear that?
I heard that request.
Would you accept that as a friendly amendment?
Yes.
Two courts suggested staff salary increases. Is that something that folks think should stay on the list?
No.
Well, I think it depends on what the state employees receive.
That's right.
If the state employees receive a cost increase, then I think they need to recognize we're a state-funded branch, and we should get the same thing. I don't think we should ask for an increase unless the state employees receive it.
Well, my understanding is that they would submit it as a placeholder, because, as you recall, the most recent negotiation with SEIU, nothing happened. They don't get any salary increases this year. It's next year contingent on revenue. So it would be a placeholder. Plus, Kurt has reminded me that there's a lot of other unions, state unions, that are still negotiating with the governor. And so we have to see what comes of that. But that should be concluded sometime this fall. So the idea would be to submit a placeholder for staff salary increases.
I guess. Mike would amend the motion.
That's on the list, so.
You didn't even see my lips move, did you? And the reason that will be important for us is, as Lachlan and I have learned from the Department of Finance, that to the extent these collective bargaining agreements are codified or solidified, agreed to, that there will be additional appropriations provided to those state agencies for those costs, while we're doing is asking for the same treatment.
Right.
So let me read to you where the list stands. And keep in mind that we haven't, although we've included court-appointed counsel, it's at the bottom, unless anyone wants to move it up. But number one would be benefit increases. Number two would be technology placeholder. Number three would be second 50 judgeships. Number four would be facility operations costs. Number five would be costs associated with new court facilities. Number six would be facility costs for transferred facilities. Number seven would be staff salary increase placeholder. And the last one would be court-appointed dependency counsel. That's the list as it stands. David.
So let me ask you, we've thrown out a lot of different priorities, and we're obviously going to have varied success with them. Is there any benefit for us to just have a catch-all and maybe resurrect Sal again? I mean, it's a term that they've heard before. It's been based on something. You know, the budget is taking a turn for the worse, so we're suspending Sal or bad. I don't even know what the terminology was that they used, but...
So one of the last meetings that Judge Jarr and I had with Anna was a discussion on restoring Sal or giving us something equivalent. And what Anna had said in June was we need to have discussions once the budget is settled about what a funding mechanism for the branch. Those were her terms. Whether that's Sal or something similar to Sal or something, but we need a funding mechanism. We recognize it, is what she said, and in the fall, let's start having some discussions. Well, Anna's not the director anymore. Michael Cohen is. So those are discussions that it's still on our list, and we know they want to have the dialogue, so we will begin to have the dialogue. Michael Cohen is going to be at the council meeting next week. He's going to do an educational session the very first day. So this was our invite to him to come talk to the council, give us some background on how DOF works. So our hope is that that's one of many other visits that Michael will have with the council. And it's our way of trying to cultivate a positive relationship with him. So once he does that next week, then we'll be talking to him about whatever the new mechanism is going to be. But Anna recognized that we need something because BCPs is going to be this is going to be a very onerous process, not just on our side, but they recognize it's onerous on their side as well. So something like Sal is much easier on both ends.
So let me ask, since I want to get folks to the 3:35 shuttle, if I can call the question. And the motion by Mike was to adopt the list as we've now refined it, given the friendly amendments, which would be seven items. Is there any further discussion on that before we vote on that?
Restoration is,
mm-hmm. Restoration is number one. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. So we will have our next meeting sometime, I think, in October, before the October council meeting, and we will get out to you as soon as we can when that will be.
It might be by phone if necessary, depending on the scope of the issues, just so you know that in terms of planning.
So the shuttle, so we will adjourn the meeting.
So assuming everyone is